From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo encouraged vegetative approach to prevent landslide. China hopes U.S. soon provides offered assistance to fight coronavirus. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo, when reviewing the post-landslide management on Monday at Sukajaya Sub-District Bogor, West Java, said that the government is preparing plant seedlings for landslide-affected areas in the region. President Joko Widodo also said that utilization of these plants will increase public awareness of the environment and reduce the impact of landslide. To date, the government has planted as many as 13,000 vetiver seedlings in Sukajaya. The planting has been carried out on an area of 1.8 hectares. Besides vetiver plants, the government also planted a number of other plant seeds, such as durian and sengon, which can be used economically by the communities. Therefore, President Joko Widodo hopes these efforts can reduce the potential of landslide disasters and provides economic benefits.
Pendekatan kita sekarang bukan hanya pendekatan fisik saja.
We do not only do a physical approach in places where floods and landslide occur, but also related to vegetative, so it does not interfere and damage the existing system. For example, in the Sukajaya prone region, the first stage we prepare approximately for 92,000 plants, including plants that benefit the economic site. There are also plants that have function for ecological improvement and ecosystem improvement, namely vetiver, lemongrass, which has 3 to 5 meters long root. So we hope with these two approaches we can solve the flood and landslide. In addition to aiding the Sukajaya people of Bogor, West Java, President Joko Widodo said that the government is also paying attention to other regions which are prone to natural disasters by emphasizing planting tree seedlings as anticipatory steps. According to the president, in 2020, the government has budgeted 1.9 trillion rupiah for disaster prevention efforts throughout Indonesia. In addition to observing development efforts in landslide-affected location, President Joko Widodo also planted vetiver plant seeds together with the local people. China hopes the United States will provide the offered assistance to fight the new coronavirus as soon as possible, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Hua Chunying said on Tuesday. Hua said, as cited by the Foreign Ministry, at present, the government and people of China are making efforts to fight the outbreak of pneumonia caused by the new type of coronavirus. China has taken decisive and effective measures to completely curb the spread of the disease, and preventions and control efforts are gradually yielding results. She said the United States should avoid overacting. According to Hua, China's efforts to combat the spread of this disease have been recognized by the WHO and the international community. The United States should be objective, impartial, calm, and rational, refrain from overreactions, respect China, and cooperate with China in preventions and control efforts, as well as work with China and the international community to fight the new type of coronavirus, she told the Foreign Ministry. Beijing has noted that the United States has repeatedly stated its readiness to provide assistance to China and hopes that the relevant assistance will arrive as soon as possible. The Trump administration is expected to appoint Julie Fisher as U.S. ambassador to Belarus, Foreign Policy reported. The Trump administration is expected to nominate Fisher, a veteran diplomat, to become the first U.S. ambassador to Belarus since 2008, the report said on Monday. Fisher currently serves as the State Department's Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Western Europe and the European Union. She also served as the Deputy Ambassador to the U.S. mission to NATO and worked at the U.S. embassies in Ukraine, Georgia, and Russia. Last September, U.S. Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs David Hale visited Minsk and announced the United States and Belarus were preparing for the mutual return of ambassador. Currently, embassies in both countries are headed by charged affairs at interim. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo met with Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko in Minsk on Friday, where they discussed matters of mutual interest as well as improving bilateral relations. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. China understands the rational and necessary measures that some countries are taking to control the spread of the new type of coronavirus, but opposes overreactions and panic. Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi said in a telephone conversation with his Iranian counterpart Mohammad Javad Zarif. After a visit to China, the head of the WHO praised the emergency measures being taken in China. The WHO also clearly stated that it does not approve of unnecessary international restrictions on travel and trade with China. Minister Wang said, escorted by the Chinese Foreign Ministry, that China will continue to share information with countries around the world, adhere to the principles of openness and transparency, strengthen cooperation, and jointly ensure global and regional security in the sphere of public health. With the novel coronavirus spreading, the World Bank Group is assessing financial and technical resources that can be mobilized swiftly to support affected nations and assist the life-saving work underway. The effort was also intended to halt the transmissions and mitigate the impact of this virus. World Bank Group President David Malpass noted in a statement received in Jakarta on Tuesday that the World Bank is appealing to all nations to bolster their health surveillance and response systems, deemed essential to contain the spread of this and any future outbreaks. The World Bank is closely coordinating with international partners to expedite the international response to support countries to manage the global health emergency. The World Bank also monitored the wider economic and social impacts of this crisis. The World Bank said they back China's endeavors to respond, including its efforts to maintain economic resilience. The World Bank Group stands ready to support all their clients' countries, especially the poorest and most vulnerable, to help manage the increasing impact of this crisis on their people. Indonesia and Russia celebrated the 70th anniversary of their diplomatic relations on Monday with the unveiling of the Necklace of the Equator, featuring Russian artworks depicting Indonesian culture. Officials from both countries opened the event with speeches, a reception, and a ribbon-cutting ceremony before visitors were invited for a first look at the artwork, along with a historical archives of photographs and documents from the 20th century. The acting Deputy Minister of American and European Union Affairs from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Tengkobai Zasha, highlighted the ties of respect between the nations and their opportunities moving into the future.
How successfully and dynamically the Russian-Indonesian ties have been developing during those seven decades. How close our people have become. Mutual trust and sincere friendship are the basic principles that bring us together, help to promote our bilateral cooperation and interaction and regional and international structures. Of course, Necklace of the Equator means that Indonesia is like a jewel, a collection of jewels standing along the equator, but I would also like to give another name to this exhibition, Indonesia My Love, because when you will see the paintings, you will feel the very warm feelings, the love, the friendship that these paintings translate. That's how Russian people feel about Indonesia.
The Russian ambassador to Indonesia, Ludmila Vorobiva, and the event curator Vladimir Nikolaevich Anisimov also expressed their happiness for the great success of the event. The exhibit displayed details of the good relationship between former President Sukarno and the Soviet Union following Indonesia's independence declaration in the 1950s. Also featured were colorful artworks by Russian artists Melnifoka, Anna Miloserdova, and V. Popov, among others. An art exhibition titled Necklace of Ecuador was officially opened on Monday by the Russian ambassador to Indonesia, Ludmila Vorobieva, and the acting director general for American and European Affairs of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia, Teguh Faisal Shah, at National Gallery Jakarta. The exhibition of the collection of paintings by Russian artists was made to commemorate the 70th anniversary of diplomatic relations between the Federations of Russia and the Republic of Indonesia. Ambassador Vorobieva said that she had another name for the collection, calling it Indonesia, My Love, for she believed that it truly represents what Russians feel about Indonesia.
Former President Sukarno decided to build this National Gallery following his first visit to Russia in 1956, which included a visit to an art gallery in Russia. As we reflect on our relation, we did see that there were ups and downs. However, we can say with confidence that there are growing optimism for what we can do together as friends. The bilateral relation between our two countries entered a new phase with the signing in 2003 a declaration on the framework of friendly and partnership relations in the 21st century. And later this year, we will elevate the relation into strategic partnership. Such a partnership will provide us with a clear path for a further strengthened relation.
The collection consists of over 50 pieces painted by Russian masters over the past 20 years. The painting represent images and scenes that these Russian artists witnessed throughout their tour of various Indonesian islands, such as Java, Bali, Lombok, and Kalimantan. This collection was curated by the non-profit Bureau of Creative Expedition that is led by Mr. Vladimir Nikolaevich Anisimov, a member of the Russian Academy of Arts. Besides painting, visitors will also be able to see photographs and documents from the historical archives of the Indonesia-Russia diplomatic relation, which are the collection of the National Archives and the Department of History and Documentary from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Russian Federation. The exhibition will be open from the 3rd of February to the 17th of February 2020. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is World Cancer Day. Well, listener, at present, the world has been hit by the outbreak of coronavirus, which causes deadly infections. The death toll has reached 361 people since it broke in one city, Hubei Province, China, last December. But amid global concerns about the current spreading of coronavirus, today, February 4th, the world is commemorating World Cancer Day. Cancer quietly kills 9.6 million people each year. Experts predict that the number will continue to rise to 13 million in 2030 if the world community does not take preventive measures. An organization dedicated to raising global cancer awareness, the Union for International Cancer Control, UICC, initiated the commemoration of the World Cancer Day. The purpose of the UICC is to reduce the mortality rate of cancer. The idea was refuted by the United Nations at a meeting held in Paris, France on February 4, 2000, where leaders of the government agencies, World Cancer Organizations, and the United Nations signed an agreement on the Paris Charter to fight cancer. The charter contains 10 articles outlining collaborative global commitments to improve the quality of life of cancer patients. This agreement is also for ongoing investment in the progress of cancer research, prevention, and treatment. The charter also lists every 4 February as a World Cancer Day, which is commemorated yearly. The World Cancer Day movement focuses on four aspects: progress, impact, equality, and change. Over the last few years, there had been extraordinary breakthroughs in the world of modern medicine, all stemming from a deeper understanding of cancer. One important aspect in terms of care is equality. Anyone with cancer deserves proper care and treatment regardless of their background. In some countries, patients with this deadly disease often have a lower middle economy background. Unfortunately, they often receive poor treatment and suffer unnecessarily. Of course, this requires political will of the state administrators to provide adequate healing facilities for all cancer patients. The state is also obliged to improve its citizens' knowledge, reduce fear, and get rid of all kinds of myths and misconceptions about cancer. Through education, people's attitudes and behavior towards cancer can change, support the healing process of cancer sufferers. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history, I'll begin with February 4, 1945. The Yalta Conference begins. The Yalta Conference, also called the Crimean Conference and codenamed Argonaut Conference, was the World War II conference held from February 4 to 11, 1945. As Germany's fall in World War II drew near, the conference was conducted by the United States government, the Soviet Union, and Great Britain. They were represented by Franklin D. Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, and Joseph Stalin. Conference participants reaffirmed the agreement taken at the Casablanca Conference on unconditional surrender of Germany. In addition, the Yalta Conference agreed on a plan to divide Germany into four occupied territories by the United States, Britain, France, and the Soviet Union. Let's turn to February 4, 1948, Sri Lanka becomes independent. Sri Lanka gained its independence from Britain on February 4, 1948, and today the date is celebrated as the Sri Lanka National Day. Sri Lanka in the 16th century became a Portuguese colony and later fell into Dutch hands. In 1798, Sri Lanka officially became a British colony. Since the early years of the First World War, the people of Sri Lanka rose to fight for their independence. Finally, Sri Lanka became fully independent on February 4, 1948. I'll end with the commemoration of World Cancer Day. World Cancer Day was set on February 4, 2000 at the World Summit Against Cancer for the New Millennium in Paris. The summit produced the Paris Charter, which aims to promote research, prevent cancer, improve patient services, raise awareness, and mobilize the global community to make progress against cancer, plus the adoption of World Cancer Day. The initiator is the International Union Against Cancer, or UICC, a global consortium of more than 280 anti-cancer organizations in 90 countries. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the world.
Mungkin hanya Tuhan.
That was the song entitled Kaulah Segalanya, sung by Claresta. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.winews.id. Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia calls for unity against terrorism at the 15th Parliamentary Union of Islamic Countries Conference. Indonesia attended the 15th Parliamentary Union of Islamic Countries Conference in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso, from January the 27th to 30th. Indonesia's presence was a form of commitment to inter-parliamentary cooperation. As quoted from the website of kemlu.go.id, the conference brought together members of parliament from member countries of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. The Indonesian delegation was led by Aziz Samsudin, Deputy Speaker of the Indonesian Parliament for Politics and Security, who was accompanied by Fadlizon, Chairman of the Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Body, along with the five other members, namely Mardani Ali Sera, Muhammad Farhan, Lulu Nurhamidah, Sondang Tampubolon, and Muslim Tiar. In a statement, Aziz Samsudin conveyed efforts to counter violations of the sovereignty and human rights of Muslim minority populations throughout the world. He also called for parliamentary representatives to unite to stop acts of terrorism and conflicts between Muslims. The focus during the conference was on the condition of Muslims in Palestine and Xinjiang, China. The pressure to provide assistance and stop the conflict in both places continues to be voiced by all delegations. On the sidelines of the conference, the Indonesian delegation also had bilateral meetings with the Speaker of host country parliament, Burkina Faso, of the Algerian parliament. In both meetings, the delegates discussed how parliament could contribute to improving bilateral relations. The Indonesian delegation has expressed its readiness to invest in Burkina Faso and Algeria priority areas. As a result of the two meetings, an exchange of members of parliaments and the bilateral cooperation group was agreed between Indonesia and the two countries. Well, that was my Indonesia Today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Takkan pernah terlintas untuk tinggalkan kamu jauh dariku kasihku, karena aku milikmu, kamu milikku, separuh nyawaku hidup bersamamu. Berdua kita lewati meski hujan badai takkan berhenti,
takkan berhenti
sehidup semati. Mentari pun tahu ku cinta padamu. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, aku kan selalu ada temani hingga hari tua. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, setia akan ku jaga kita teman bahagia. Ujung kepala aku ingin kamu, kamu yang ku mau, belahan jiwaku, kamu masa depanku. Berdua kita lewati meski hujan badai takkan berhenti, sehidup semati. Mentari pun tahu cinta padamu. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, aku kan selalu ada temani hingga hari tua. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, setia akan ku jaga.
There was the song entitled Teman Bahagia, sung by Jazz. Listener, for the next segment, we will present to you Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you to Gedung Sate Museum in Bandung, West Java. Gedung Sate is an icon of Bandung city. Therefore, many tourists visit Bandung and usually stop to take a picture in front of Gedung Sate. In the past, the building could not be accessed by the public since it was used as the office of the provincial government of West Java, but now, the building is open to the public. Many people were curious about the building, which was constructed by the Dutch. So the provincial government of West Java constructed Gedung Sate Museum. In the 500-meter-wide museum, tourists will receive deep knowledge of the history of the building's construction, which earlier was named Government Bedrijven. In addition, tourists will be spoiled by modern digital visual technology and video mapping. Gedung Sate Museum was inaugurated by West Java Governor Ahmad Heriawan on December 8, 2017. Located at the eastern side of Gedung Sate, the museum presents historical themes, which is packed with sensory and interactive digital technology. At the museum, you can enjoy an interactive 3D scale model of Gedung Sate, an interactive glass display, a hologram, and a wall video mapping. At the museum, there is also virtual reality, which makes you feel as if you are riding a hot air balloon which circles the Gedung Sate area. In addition, you can also enjoy an architectural TV, an interactive floor display, and an interactive picture frame. Moving on from history, those who are interested in architectural art of the colonial era can discover historical materials and technical buildings which are used by architects in the past when constructing the Gedung Sate. To understand it, one of the corners of Gedung Sate wall is intentionally perforated to see in detail the stone foundations of the building. Well, another side of the museum that uses augmented reality technology offers you the experience to be foreman in the construction project of Gedung Sate in the colonial era. If you want to visit the museum, you can enter the museum free of charge starting from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. local time every day. But the number of visitors is limited to only 35 people per day. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Gedung Sate Museum in Bandung, West Java Province. Thank you for listening.
Menu
You have just listened to the song entitled Menua Bersama, sung by Endah and Reza. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesia, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration of Voice of Indonesia with the Language and Book Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Tipe Kamar Hotel or Hotel Room Type. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on tipe kamar hotel or hotel room types. In the hotel lobby, Kevin's check-in, assisted by a female receptionist, and choosing the type of room to be booked.
Selamat sore, Pak. Ada yang bisa saya bantu?
Sore. Saya mau menginap di sini. Saya mau check-in.
Sudah melakukan pemesanan sebelumnya?
Belum. Di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja?
Kamar yang tersedia tinggal kamar tipe standar dan tipe deluxe.
Oh, saya pesan yang standar saja deh.
After listening to this conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabularies related to today's theme, which are tipe kamar hotel, which means hotel room types. I will say the words two times and you may repeat after me. Menginap. Menginap, which means to stay overnight. Tipe kamar. Tipe kamar. Room type. Selamat sore, Pak. Selamat sore, Pak. Good afternoon, sir. Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Is there anything I can help? Saya mau check in. Saya mau check in. I want to check in. Saya mau menginap di sini. Saya mau menginap di sini. I want to stay here. Sudah melakukan pemesanan sebelumnya? Sudah melakukan pemesanan sebelumnya? Have you made a reservation beforehand? Di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja? Di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja? What types of rooms do you have? Kamar yang tersedia tinggal kamar tipe standar dan tipe deluxe. Kamar yang tersedia tinggal tipe standar dan tipe deluxe. The available rooms are standard and deluxe. Saya pesan yang standar saja. Saya pesan yang standar saja. I'll take the standard room then. In the conversation, you heard the phrase, di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja. Di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja, which means what type of room are there here. The phrase is used to ask the room types at the hotel. If you have chosen a room, you can say, saya pesan, and then mention the type of the room. Which means, I'll take, and then mention the room type, to book the room you want. Hotel receptionists will usually provide a choice of several types of rooms available at the hotel. For example, standard, deluxe, and superior rooms. Let's listen to the following sample conversation. Di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja? Di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja, which means what types of rooms you have here. Kami menyediakan tipe kamar standar, superior, dan deluxe. Kami menyediakan tipe kamar standar, superior, dan deluxe, which means we provide standard, superior, and deluxe room types. In the conversation, there is a phrase, ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu, which means can I help you? The phrase is used to ask the needs of guests. Typically, the phrase "ada yang bisa saya bantu" is used by service providers such as receptionist or customer service. But you can also use the phrase to offer help to others. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the example of conversation once again.
Selamat sore, Pak. Ada yang bisa saya bantu?
Sore. Saya mau menginap di sini. Saya mau check-in.
Sudah melakukan pemesanan sebelumnya?
Belum. Di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja?
Kamar yang tersedia tinggal kamar tipe standar dan tipe deluxe.
Oh, saya pesan yang standar saja deh.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Cinta tak pernah salah, lantas mengapa banyak yang menghalang? Jika memang benar sang waktu yang tak tepat, lantas mengapa kita dipertemukan? Berdebat hebat, nurani dan ego ini, oh Tuhan tolonglah, hapus semua rasa ku mencintai dia yang telah berbuah. Oh Tuhan tolonglah, batinku tersiksa, nurani berkata ku harus lepas. Mungkin semesta ini sedang mencoba mengajari kita untuk lebih dewasa. Walaupun berat, akan tetap ku coba menjalani semua yang terasa benar. Berdebat hebat, rani dan ego ini, oh Tuhan tolonglah, hapus semua rasa ku mencinta. Oh
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present you a Malay song entitled Dian, which will be sung by Boy Sandy. The song Dian was composed by Syahril Dian. The song describes someone's love who they care for, a man named Dian. But now it is over because the lover has gone. In accordance with its lyrics, the song has a slow tempo with melancholic music. The song will be sung by Boy Sandy, who was born in Padang, West Sumatra. He has mastered a lot of musical genres, including regional pop songs of Minang, Malay music, traditional music of Saluang, Dangdut, as well as slow rock music. Listener, now let's listen to the song Dian by Boy Sandy. Enjoy the song.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ku mencari seorang kekasih yang mengisi ruang kosong di hati. Dia yang terbaik untukku, selama-lamanya untukku. Ku mencari seorang kekasih yang mengisi detak jantung hatiku. Dia yang terakhir untukku, selama-lamanya hanya untukku. Oh Tuhan, masihkah yang kau kirimkan padaku, dan kau jadikan dia teman hidupku. Ku mencari seorang kekasih yang mengisi detak
listener. Thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.